Good afternoon, guys. As I was contemplating what to say to you today, I knew there would be a group of men in this gymnasium a lot better qualified to share with you the disciplines of a godly marriage. But for whatever reason, the Lord has me up here. Men, I mean this honestly, I've done hundreds of talks in my life. I can't remember when I was more nervous about doing a talk than I am today. Why is that? Because I know most of you. I'm convinced it's because Satan does not want us to have strong marriages. And he militates against us every opportunity that he gets. But I can't think of a more important subject to talk to you about than marriage, what marriage is all about, a godly or Christian marriage, unless it would be our decision to accept Christ as our Savior, the most important decision we'll ever make. But men, the first institution established by God is in trouble. Divorce rates are higher than marriage license applications. If you don't believe me, look at last weekend's Kokomo Tribune or last night's Perspective. I counted them. 12 divorces over the last week, 7 applications for marriage. What's really unfortunate, you pastors will verify this, that divorce rates among church members is just about as high as non-church members. How sad. But strong marriages, you men know, produce strong families. And strong families produce strong communities. And strong communities produce strong states. And ultimately, strong states with godly, Christ-honoring marriages exalt a nation. And that's how important it is. But it starts right here in our homes, in our marriages, in our relationships with our wives. Men, some of you today will not understand what I'm talking about. Some will probably think my remarks are extreme, and they may be. All I ask is that you listen for the next 15 or 20 minutes and see if what Scripture says about husbands applies to you. And by the way, I'm speaking to myself as well. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, and it's on your handout, a very simple sentence. Husbands, love your wives. How? Just as Christ himself loved the church. And most of us stop there. But it goes on to say that he gave himself up for the church. That's our Savior. Guys, this injunction by Paul is not an option for us if we're married. It is not a suggestion by Scripture that we love our wives as Christ loved the church. It's a command. We can't argue against it. If it's in the book, we have to be obedient to it. When the Bible tells us to love our wives, we have an obligation to try to understand then what this love is all about. I think it's about three things. Sacrificial love. Contrary to some of our thinking, love is a choice. In the New Testament, love is more of a verb than a noun. Think about that. It has more to do with acting than with feeling. The call to love is not so much a call to a certain state of feeling as it is to a quality of action. When Paul says to us, love our wives, he is saying, be loving toward your wife. Treat her as lovely. Do the things that are truly lovely things for her. The kind of love that Christ has for the church is a self-sacrificial love. Christ gave everything he had for us, even unto death. Marital love is, in fact, like that. Because a man, by the way, this realization of this truth is really frightening in some people's minds, and to mine as well. But this is a clear call to us to have a radical sacrificial love for the woman that God gave us. Marital love is like death. It wants all of us. The realization of what this call may at first be frightening, but is also beautiful. Because a man who embraces such a love will experience the grace of death to self. Marriage is a call to die, And a man who does not die for his wife does not come close to the love to which he's called. Then Christian marriage vows are the inception of a lifelong practice of death, of giving it over not only all we have, but all that we are. This is not a grim call to the gallows to be hung, not at all. It is no more grim than dying to self and following Christ. In fact, men who lovingly die for their wives know the most joy, have the most fulfilling marriages, and experience the most love themselves. Christ's call to Christian husbands is not a call to be doormats, but to die. This can mean a death to our rights, our time, our perceived pleasures, all, however, liberating deaths. This truly is a male thing, guys. It's a masculine thing, for it takes a strong man to die to himself. Number two, suffering. Have you suffered recently for your wife? I don't think I have. When Christ gave himself up for us, he not only died, he suffered. And his suffering was not only the cross, but it was and is the suffering which comes from identification with his bride, that's us, the body of Christ. In Acts chapter 9, verse 4, remember what Saul said? Who was fanatically persecuting Christians, and the Lord suddenly spoke out, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" Christ suffers with his bride, and we are his bride. And husbands ought to suffer with and for our wives. Men, when we hitch our lives to a spouse, we're in for a wild ride with a huge ups and downs. Just as you, when you really love God, you will undergo difficulties foreign to an unloving heart. So it is in marriage. You'll share your wife's disappointments, her cruelties, her disparities, her upsets, and her insecurities, and the list goes on. But of course you will also grow. You will also know an index of love beyond the range of the unloving. You will ride through some dark, dark valleys, but you'll also will soar among the stars with your wife. Thirdly, intercession. On the evening that Christ gave himself to us, John chapter 17 tells us he prayed in succession for three groups of people. Number one, for himself. Number two, for his disciples. And number three, for all of us. Those are three things he prayed for that night. When he finished praying for his future bride, us, he went to the cross. Then came his death, his resurrection, his ascension, his enthronement at the right hand of the Father, where he consistently prays for and makes intercession for every one of us in this room who know him as personal Savior. He is interceding with God the Father on our behalf. Thus, we understand that giving ourselves for our brides involves regular, prayerful intercession. Guys, do you pray for your wives with something more than this? I hope you do. God bless my wife today, or last week, or next week. If we're not praying any more in depth than that, then we're sinning against her. We're also sinning against him. Men, we need to have a list of her needs, spoken and unspoken, which we passionately hold up to God for her. Praying is the marital work of a caring Christian husband. Men were divinely called to die for our wives, take on her sufferings as our sufferings, and thirdly, to be prayerful intercessors for her. By the way, last night, I had my wife look over my notes, and unfortunately, I shouldn't have done that, because she started asking me questions about how well I know her. We'll talk later about that. But men, we do need to know our wives. How can you pray for somebody if you don't know that person? We need to know our wives in order to look out for their best interests. Okay, guys, you were laughing. Take this brief quiz. You may not want to do it out loud or even on paper, but take this brief quiz. What is your wife's greatest concern right now? I was blank last night, too. What is her greatest need? You thought about that recently? What is her wildest dream? What is her smallest pain? Or what new vistas would she like to explore? Men, if we know our wives, here's some things I think we have to do. We need to prefer her over us. Wow. We need to show interest in her interest, Chuck. We need to encourage her with words of appreciation. When you left your home this morning, I trust that you were able to give your bride a kiss, tell her how much you loved her, how much you appreciate her. We need to show interest in her interests. I mean, a few years ago, I went over to Germany, and she's always wanted to go to an opera. So I went to 3 operas. Didn't understand a word they were saying, but I told her, I said, I'm doing this for you. I'd rather go to a soccer match. Encourage her with words of appreciation. Listen with interest to her concerns while showing compassion, not while you're flipping through the channels. Turn it off, look her in the eye, share her interest with her. Help her when she looks as if she needs it. And don't wait to be asked, and she'll faint then too. When's the last time you actually opened the car door for your wife before she got in and you got in secondly? For some of us, it's been a long time. Don't be afraid to do chivalrous things for her. Hey, this one, guys. Give her non-sexual affection. Hello. Pray with her and lead her spiritually. She may say to you, I want to be the spiritual leader. I'm going to get the kids up and go to church. No, don't listen to that. She wants you to be the spiritual leader of your home. And we should. If we do most of these things I just mentioned on a regular basis, you'll be shocked at the change and the response that you will see in your wife. Men, there are some commitments we need to make to our wives today. Number one, I commit to personally grow in Christ for the rest of my life. Drawing closer to God in your marriage begins with your personal relationship with Him alone. Number two, I commit to our marriage for life. That's a tough one. And to work to solve all the problems that may arise during our marriage. Hey guys, problems will come. But when you face them with a goal and confidence of resolution, you can grow closer in the process. Number three, I commit to be faithful to my spouse in both mind and action. Last week, Kent's talk was unbelievably given and also hopefully received. Trust develops and problems are avoided when you decide my spouse is the only person, the only woman I'm going to think about in that way. A few years ago, I was working out at the office one Saturday night, which I don't do anymore because I tried to spend it with my wife, and the phone rang. And it was a lady from church, and I might say a drop dead, 1 to 10, a 10, and was having some marital problems. And she said, in the course of our discussion, Jim, all I really need tonight is to have a Christian man hold me in his arms. Did I want to do that? Don't tell my wife. Yeah, I thought it'd be kind of fun. But I thought of my wife. I thought of my 3 children. I thought if I ever got caught, what would happen to my home, my marriage, my reputation, for whatever it is worth. And I politely hung up, called my wife and said, you'll never guess what happened. And I told her what had happened. And she thanked me. Men, I hope you will do that as well. Some of you have probably been challenged with greater temptations than that. But no one would have known if she slipped downtown Kokomo at 8:30 on a Friday, Saturday night. My wife's out home. Her husband's on the lam. I didn't do it. Thank God I didn't do it. But that could happen to some of you if it hasn't, or it will. So just be prepared. Say, Lord, give me the strength, the courage. Number four, I commit to communicate. Oh, my goodness. The guy says, I'll do all the others, but communication? By the way, no matter what, I commit to communicate with my bride. Even when you'd rather do anything else, decide when and how you will talk through conflict and difficult issues. By the way, communication doesn't mean you talking all the time. It also involves you listening a lot. And number five, I commit, tough one, to be a servant to my wife. Be willing to serve each other in thoughts and actions that promote mutual dependence and appreciation. Okay, Paul says, love your wife as Christ loved the church. How do I love my wife? Here are some simple, I think, profound ways to show her that you really do love her. Prefer her over yourself. When's the last time you thought about doing that? B, show interest in her interests. C, encourage your wife with words of appreciation. 4, listen with interest to her concerns while showing compassion. It won't all make sense. You just need to listen. Look her in the eye. Got to work on that more myself. Help her when she looks as if she needs it. Don't wait to be asked. I already mentioned do the chivalrous things, but be sure and pray with her and lead her spiritually. Then, guys, you need to love her no matter what happens. You need to say to her, if things get better for us, I'm going to love you. But if things get worse for us, I'm going to love you. If we get rich beyond our wildest dreams, honey, I'm going to love you. If we grow poorer, we're out of a job, and don't have very much, tell her, I'm still going to love you. If you get sick, I'm going to love you. If you remain healthy, I'm going to love you. In fact, honey, no matter what happens, I will always love you. Very quickly, I'm a man of lists. 7 things every spouse, every wife needs. Hope you have some space left on your paper. Your wife needs you to be the spiritual leader of your home. Your wife needs you to be her teammate in raising the children and taking care of the home. Your wife needs you to treat her like a princess. Your wife needs you to communicate with her. Your wife needs you to be a triple A encourager. If you get all the rest of this, write these 3 words down. She needs appreciation, affirmation, and admiration. Your wife needs to feel emotionally filled before she desires to be sexually involved. Enough said. Finally, your wife needs you to understand there are some things you'll never understand. That doesn't make either of you right or wrong, just different. Most of you men know that Proverbs chapter 31 is all about virtuous, godly woman. And whenever I see my daughter, our only daughter, I'm pleased to tell her, you're my Proverbs 31 daughter, and I'm so blessed. Well, if we know the principles of that chapter, then we'll know how to make our wives even more loving, more kind, more Christ-like. For example, cherishing. The good husband recognizes the true value of his wife. He sees her as one of God's priceless treasures. Supporting. The good husband believes in the potential of his wife. He doesn't hold her back or put her down, but he encourages her to be productive and fulfilled. Listening. The good husband realizes the importance of listening to and learning from his wife. New concept for some of us, right? His responses to her should be kind, gentle, respectful, and truthful. And then finally, praising. This may be the hardest of all. The good husband praises his wife for her virtue, her godly character, her endeavors, and her accomplishments. He lets others know she is a treasure far above jewels. If you make your wife feel that way, great things will happen. But, you know, there will be conflict. And some of the men in this room probably had some conflict this morning or last night. Some of you in this room had such conflict that you're no longer married to your wife. There will be conflict, but there are some simple steps to address conflict as it comes. Number one, keep in mind that it will come from time to time. Number two, change what can be changed. That may mean changing yourself. Number two, explain what can be understood. Number three, teach what can be learned. Number four, revise what can be approved upon. Number six, negotiate what's open to compromise. Number six, accept all the less. Conflict will be less and less. And finally, men, if you want your children, your grandchildren, to have Christ-honoring marriages, then I urge you to model Jesus Christ in your relationship with your wife. You guys ready to man up? Guys, 59 years ago, I was between my freshman and sophomore years in college. And I was home in Detroit, working for the summer. On the way home from my job that night, I saw a huge sign on a street close to my home. And it said, Youth Revival. And I said, you know what? Probably some good-looking Christian girls at that tent ministry. So I walked in the tent, went home, cleaned up, walked in the tent. As I was walking in, I saw this gal standing up there, singing beautifully. And I said to myself, I want to know her. 13 days later, I asked her to marry me. That wasn't the phenomenon. The phenomenon was she said yes. We were married 57 years and 7 months ago. There are only two reasons why we're still married, Chuck. Only two. Number one, we agreed that night when I asked her to marry me that dissolution would never be discussed in our home. In other words, murder maybe, but not divorce. And secondly, we said together, whatever we do with our lives, digging ditches, practicing law, preaching the gospel, we want to bring glory to Him with our lives together. Those two things have kept us together through a lot of difficulties. And she's been with me every step of the way. We've been through a lot together, a lot of deaths, illnesses, career disappointments, etc. But I can't think of anyone, men, I mean this sincerely, I would rather share my life with than the former Marvel Mae Myland, who, by the way, gave birth 56 years ago to one of your favorite speakers, J. Kevin Butcher. Marvel, where are you? Would you join me up here, please? She doesn't like this. This proves she really loved me. Men, I'm going to ask Marvel to pray today for us. That we'll have the motivation and the courage to be biblical husbands who really love our wives as Christ loved the church. Let's pray.
Dear Father, it's wonderful that we can come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus. And it's not that we take that lightly, but it's wonderful to be able to pray wherever we are and talk to you because of what Jesus did. And Father, today I want to pray for these men in this room. God, I know that you want us all to be Christ-honoring in every part of our life. And I know, too, that you want these men to be godly examples wherever they are. And I pray that they will be able to partake of the power and the strength and the courage that it takes to have a godly marriage. God, you know us as people. We are not very nice. And there's times when we just want our own way. But God, help us to want your way. And your way is that we would bring honor and glory to you through our marriages. And I pray that you would enable them to do this. I pray that if there's no desire to do that, that you would create a desire in them to have a godly marriage. And help them. Help them. Help us. That we would be the examples we should be. And Father, we want to tell you that we love you and we thank you for the privilege of knowing you and the privilege of serving you. In Jesus' name, amen.